It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right now, let's turn our attention back to migrants, illegal migrants, asylum seekers, because they're never out of the news. The Rwanda bill, of course, is back in the House of Lords, and they're going to be trying to bring in more of those amendments back, which the MPs have just struck out. Will those planes ever take off? Well, who knows? What we do know is that the vast majority of people who come here in this country, to this country illegally and who claim asylum aren't processed for many, many months, even years. Yet, the government plans to house asylum seekers on barges, not just the BB Stockholm, but other barges, but also disused military bases, could end up costing millions and millions more than keeping them in hotels, to the tune of more than 40 million quid. That's according to the government watchdog, the National Audit Office. And this comes as the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has backed calls for asylum seekers to be, wait for it, allowed to work from the day they arrive in Britain. Oh, and even having access to government funds to set up their own businesses. You couldn't make this stuff up. It's not April the 1st. It really isn't. Joining me right now to discuss this is George Pitcher, who's a priest in the Church of England and also a former advisor to the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. Thank you so much for joining us, George.
Hello, Julia. Hello. Hearty. Lovely to be with you again.
I'm sorry, what were you calling me? I've been called many things in my time, George.
Well, they all do that. If they can't,
George, look, let me ask you. I mean, let's just talk about the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's part of this interfaith, independent commission on the integration of refugees, along with the chief rabbi and imams and cardinals, etc. And they're calling for changes. They want, they say, to have, you know, free English language lessons from day one, the right to work in the jobs where there is a shortage, on the shortage occupation list from day one, certainly the right to employment generally after 6 months, and the right to get government-backed finance schemes to help set up their own businesses. This is, I would say, borderline insanity, if not outright insanity, from these faith leaders. This will basically just say, come on over, we'll look after you. Do you think the Archbishop and these others have got this horribly wrong?
No, of course not. That's why you have me on, because I take a very different view to you, Julia. I'm very pleased. I'm glad. I'm celebrating today that somebody in a position of authority is trying to mend our hopelessly broken asylum system, because our government, sure as eggs, isn't. All the government appears to be doing is posing with various sort of dog whistle efforts at trying to get planes off the ground to Rwanda, making statistically insignificant changes to the numbers of immigration. What is clear is that we need more efficient and effective processing [S2] Yep. [S1] Of asylum claims much more quickly, and that is contained within today's report. And it's terrifically important too that we help immigrants to integrate. The right wing of our politics is forever mooing on about how immigrants don't integrate with our society. And then as soon as we produce a policy to enable that integration, they throw their hands up in horror and go, oh, my God, they're integrating.
I think the issue there is about government money, which is taxpayers' money being used for people when other people are already here in this country are struggling. But this, you say, this is about mending our asylum system. All this will do is say, hey, come over to Britain, the deal is even better. Not only are you going to be put in some, you know, three-star hotel for the period of time, you're going to be able to work, even legally. You're not going to be beholden to the gangs to get them work on the black market. Absolutely fine. You're going to be integrated. We know that that will then enable people to say, I've put down roots, I'm here to stay. That basically says, here is a green light. You may as well, I mean, you may as well just set up a ferry service from Calais to Dover, and we'll just welcome them all in. I mean, we'll have millions turning up, not just the tens of thousands we currently have.
Oh, well, we need immigrants to do the jobs in our society.
Okay, George, I'm going to stop you there. There's a difference between immigrants and illegal arrivals. That's different. Yeah. Someone who's coming here, who's well-educated, who's got great skills, who wants to come here and set up their life and applies for a visa legally and wants to make their life here and is welcome. That's quite different from people arriving. The people applying for asylum are largely arriving illegally.
Well, the ones arriving for asylum are the ones predominantly on the small boats, aren't they?
Yes, illegally.
The numbers of those are statistically insignificant.
Those young men are being housed in a hostel at the end of your road.
Three-quarters of a million this year or something. We might get 70,000, 75,000 arriving in small boats. Now, the small boats must stop. There we agree, Julia.
Well, they're not going to stop.
It's costing lives. And
but George, they're not going to stop. If you're saying, we'll give you English lessons, we'll give you money to set up a business, we'll you can get a job. Deterrence?
The way to stop small boats hasn't appeared to have been achieved by government policies so far. Do you remember the hostile environment for immigrants? How did that go under Theresa May? Wave machines from one of our former home secretaries.
Yes.
Now Rwanda doesn't even appear to be happening, let alone be a disincentive. So we need to find a way to tackle illegal immigration.
Yes, but how does offering more... These are lovely words, and this is the thing. Everyone can sit in their nice home saying these are lovely words. At the end of the day, how does this... You say this. They're saying this is about mending the asylum system. How does offering more incentives to people to come to this country illegally, risking their lives on these boats, paying people traffickers, how does offering them more incentives to come here mend that issue?
What I'm saying here, Julia, is...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That the proportion of our overall immigration...
Yes.
The proportion of that, which is illegal immigration
in
small boats, is tiny. That needs to be tackled. And one of the ways that the overall immigration situation can be tackled, and by the way, overall, one in three of our immigrants have a degree, and this scheme, carefully budgeted by economists, will pay for itself within 3 years. I don't think you'll say that about Rwanda, which isn't even effective.
I agree with you on Rwanda. Can I point out there are plenty of people who come to this country who have degrees. Unfortunately, they have degrees that aren't recognised, qualifications that aren't recognised in this country, and often someone who might work as a teacher in another country or a medic is unfortunately working as a cleaner or an Uber driver in this country. Now, we can tackle those issues there. I think there's an issue between illegal immigration and legal immigration. This particular report is about the asylum system, which deals with people who've arrived here largely illegally. The debate about how many people should be given visas and whether or not we should train up our own people to do jobs rather than importing them from third world countries largely, I think is a different debate. I'm asking you again, how does offering more incentives to people to take that risky journey across the channel, how does offering them even more benefits, how does that deter them?
Julia, this is worth, costed by the economists behind this report, this is worth £1.6 billion to the British economy within 5 years. I'm quite keen that we should.
So you're saying illegal migrants are going to be benefiting our economy? Can you answer the question I've actually asked you, George? I know. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but about the people applying for asylum and what Justin Welby and others think that benefits they should be able to access. Answer that question. Legal migration is a separate matter. Illegal
migration is that proportion of the overall immigration, which is proportionately tiny.
You've said that three times that now. Could you answer the question I've asked?
Effective and efficient processing. And with effective and efficient processing,
yes.
You've already said in the introduction that it takes months for this government to organise any processing whatsoever.
That's true.
The report said that this is all predicated on a new system that will process all asylum claims within 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed it takes
that,
6 months. Look, we'd agree on that.
And there are systems in which that can be met. I have to say it's made a lot harder by Brexit, of course, but we can,
Why is it made harder? I mean, I knew you had to get this in because you work in the Church of England. Why does Brexit make it harder?
Well, Julia, if only we had some pan-European federation that we could be a member of so that we could be sorting this out with neighbouring countries. The situation at the moment is that France has no incentive to help us with migration France, precisely.
No, why not?
Because those migrants are leaving France.
Yeah, but they only go to France to get to us. Sorry, we managed to do a returns deal with Albania. Albania isn't even in the EU, and we're not in a federation with them. And yet we're able to do a deal with them. We're able to do deals with other countries on security and defence, do lots of things. We're able to cooperate with with France and the rest of the EU on backing for Ukraine. But for some reason, we're unable to do a deal on dealing with illegal migrants. But it's all to do with those ghastly awful people like me who go to Brexit.
A string of terrible Home Secretaries I've had. Well, we can't do a deal with France. And one of the reasons we can't deal with France is precisely because France has no particular interest in it. I mean, it sees migrants leaving Europe, Julia, for Britain.
So if we were members of the EU tomorrow, would Macron suddenly go, oh, brilliant, I'll have all those people back then? Of course he wouldn't. Those returns had already failed long before we'd left the European Union.
But
they were going down for years beforehand.
The proportion of the small proportion that are illegal migrants on boats, if their asylum claims are processed efficiently and effectively within 6 months, then they can either be returned to their country
or they can't because they don't bring documentation.
Well, yeah, but how many do you think that is?
Well, we're talking 90%
against the three-quarters of a million that come here, as you rightly say.
But we know who they are, and they're here legally.
And could be contributing 1.6 billion to our exchequer, which I rather like the thought of.
Well, again, the figures that we've heard for years about, by the way, how legal migrants are contributing money, actually the vast majority are not net contributors. And by the way, if mass immigration was such a fabulous thing for this country and produced amazing growth, then we wouldn't be in the economic mess we're in now and have been for the last 20 years when we've had a wide open door policy, when we were in your wonderful, fantastic, perfect EU. On that note, George, I'm giving up, signing out, because I've got to go to another topic. But, George Pitcher, I really appreciate you joining us. Do come on again. I couldn't disagree with you more on all this, but it's been a pleasure. He's a priest of the Church of England.
It's always a pleasure, Julia.
Former advisor to another Archbishop of Canterbury, who always talked nonsense. That was Rowan Williams, not just Justin Welby. Sorry to talk over you there, George.